Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're diving into Knowledge, A Very Short Introduction by the acclaimed author Jennifer Nagel. This enthralling book serves as your passport to the world of epistemology, a branch of philosophy that grapples with the question surrounding knowledge. What is knowledge? How can we claim to know anything at all? Nagel guides us through these complex questions with a clear and engaging exploration from the perspectives of the ancient Greeks through to modern-day philosophers. Jennifer Nagel, a revered professor of philosophy at the University of Toronto, specializes in epistemology, the intersection where knowledge meets belief. With her extensive academic contributions, including numerous articles and this very book, Nagel stands as a prominent voice in the philosophy of knowledge. Knowledge is not just for those entrenched in the world of philosophy. It beckons to philosophy buffs and newcomers alike, offering a gateway to deeper understanding. Skeptics will find compelling examinations that challenge the very notion of certainty, while knowledge workers will discover profound insights into the essence of knowing. This book is an invitation to explore the landscape of knowledge, making it an essential listen for anyone intrigued by the mysteries of the mind and the realities we perceive. Join us as we summarize and discuss the key takeaways from Knowledge, A Very Short Introduction, and uncover why understanding the foundations of knowledge is more relevant today than ever before. Knowledge, A Very Short Introduction. Introduction: Unlocking the Power of Knowledge, Navigating Truth in an Information-Overloaded World. In today's fast-paced, information-rich world, distinguishing between authentic knowledge and misleading data is becoming increasingly challenging. With a daily deluge of facts, opinions, and falsehoods flooding our screens and conversations, it's more crucial than ever to develop a discerning eye toward what we accept as truth. Our social and political environments often circumscribe our understanding, limiting our exposure to the vast ocean of knowledge that lies beyond our immediate circles. It's as if we're sailors navigating by the stars of our own making, rarely venturing into the uncharted territories that could broaden our horizons and deepen our understanding. This reality beckons for a more profound questioning of what we hold to be true, inviting us to explore the realm of epistemology, the branch of philosophy dedicated to dissecting the nature of knowledge itself. Epistemology invites us to delve into the processes through which knowledge is birthed, shared, and internalized, offering a critical lens through which to view our beliefs and the information we encounter daily. Through this exploration, we embark on a journey to uncover the subtle, intricate connections between belief and knowledge, unlocking the mysteries of how we understand what we know or think we know. Along the way, we'll encounter thought-provoking insights into the human mind's capacity to interpret and make sense of the world, akin to the elusive art of mind reading. Furthermore, we'll confront intriguing questions about universally accepted truths, such as whether we can truly claim that Mount Everest is the world's tallest mountain, or if this too is a belief subject to scrutiny. As we tread this path, we're invited to engage in a transformative process, one that challenges us to reassess our perspectives, question our convictions, and ultimately emerge with a more nuanced, profound appreciation for the complex nature of knowledge in our lives. Through this critical lens, we can begin to sift through the noise of the present age, identifying nuggets of truth and wisdom amid the chaos, and empowering ourselves to build a more informed, enlightened world. Part 1. The Deceptive Simplicity of Knowing, Unraveling the Fabric of Truth and Belief. In a world where a tidal wave of information is always at our fingertips, courtesy of the internet and a never-sleeping media, discerning the essence of true knowledge becomes a Herculean task. Opinion and fact intertwine so closely that distinguishing one from the other demands more than a casual glance. This begs the probing questions: how do we come to hold the knowledge we claim, and what, at its core, is knowledge? At the heart of these inquiries lies epistemology, the philosophical discipline dedicated to scrutinizing the nature of knowledge. Here lies the essential insight. Though we frequently use the verb to know, it harbors a wealth of complexity beneath its surface simplicity. Understanding knowledge requires tackling a couple of pivotal distinctions. Contrary to resources that exist independently, like minerals or fossil fuels, knowledge is not unearthed but generated. Picture this: a coin is flipped inside a sealed box, landing heads up. This occurrence remains a mere fact, devoid of the status of knowledge, until a person observes the outcome. Knowledge thus emerges from the union of human cognition and factual events. Additionally, knowing something differs fundamentally from believing it to be true. While the distinction seems straightforward on paper, discerning whether one truly knows something or merely believes it to be accurate is a conundrum. Skeptics may argue that distinguishing knowing from believing is futile, or claim knowledge is but a privileged label attributed to the beliefs of societal elites, such as corporate leaders and scientists. A more optimistic view, however, acknowledges that even the insights of experts are subject to scrutiny and debate, reinforcing the universality of the capacity to know, a reason why to know ranks among the English language's 10 most utilized verbs. Yet, this foray into understanding knowledge leads us to an even more profound layer of metacognition. Knowledge, it seems, demands a confidence in truth, but defining truth presents its own philosophical battlefield. Is truth an objective constant, unchanged regardless of who perceives it? Or is it a subjective experience, malleable and personal? The ancient Greek philosopher Protagoras argued for the latter, suggesting truth's nature changes with individual perception. But if we follow this reasoning to its full extent, we confront a paradoxical world where every personal truth is equally valid, erasing the possibility of error. For the purpose of delving deeper into the essence of knowledge, let's align with Plato and a lineage of thinkers who reject Protagoras's stance. They advocate for an objective truth, a concept that transcends individual experience, laying a foundation for our quest to understand knowledge in its truest sense. This philosophical journey invites us to challenge and refine our grasp of knowledge, an endeavor as enriching as it is essential in our quest for understanding in an ever-complex world. Part 2: Challenging Certainties, the Skeptical Perspective on Knowing. Leaving behind the realm of subjective truths and embracing a world where knowledge is tethered to objective realities, we approach a junction. Imagine truth as an electrical outlet waiting to power our understanding. The question arises: are we actually capable of connecting to this source of truth? Enter the skeptics, who raise an eyebrow at our confidence in knowledge, suggesting a more nuanced reality. We might not truly know what we believe we know. Let's dive into a simple yet profound puzzle. Are you wearing shoes at this moment? You might instinctively answer yes or no, but how deep does your certainty run? Could it be that you're dreaming, and your perception of wearing shoes is just an illusion? This might seem like a mental exercise in futility, yet it lies at the heart of the skeptical inquiry into the nature of knowledge. Through this lens, even the most seemingly evident facts become subjects of intense scrutiny. The roots of such skepticism stretch back to ancient Greece, which hosted two principal schools of thought on the matter. The academic skeptics denied the possibility of acquiring true knowledge, while their Pyrrhonian counterparts maintained a stance of perpetual inquiry, reserving judgment on all matters. Both schools trace their lineage to the Stoics, who distinguished between impressions, our immediate perceptions, and judgments, the decision to accept these perceptions as true. Just as recognizing a friend from a distance involves interpreting an impression and making a judgment on its accuracy, the Stoics advocated for a cautious acceptance of only those impressions verified by close scrutiny. However, the academic skeptics took issue with the premise that any impression could be deemed unequivocally accurate. What if, they argue, you were hallucinating or your friend had a doppelganger? They posited that certainty eludes us, even in matters we consider beyond doubt. Pyrrhonian skepticism pushes these ideas to their extreme. They viewed the assertion that knowledge is unattainable as a paradoxical claim to knowledge itself. Rather than making any definitive claims, they championed the virtue of maintaining an open mind, embracing uncertainty. Sextus Empiricus, a leading figure in Pyrrhonism, famously advocated for phrases such as, "I determine nothing," and "perhaps it is and perhaps it is not," to sustain a perpetual state of doubt. Adopting the perspective of academic skeptics would halt our exploration of knowledge at a dead end, whereas the Pyrrhonians would see this dialogue as eternally unfolding. Fortunately, history presents us with thinkers who navigate the concept of knowledge from different angles, inviting us to continue our quest for understanding beyond the bounds of skepticism. Part 3. Rationalism versus Empiricism, the dueling philosophies of Descartes and Locke. In a spirited counter to the skepticism of their predecessors, the 17th century ushered in two philosophical giants who dared to assert that knowledge is not only attainable but fundamental to human existence. René Descartes and John Locke, key players in the arena of early modern philosophy, each presented a groundbreaking perspective on how we come to know the world. Despite their shared objection to skepticism's denial of knowledge, their viewpoints diverge on the nature and source of human understanding. Here lies the crux of their intellectual legacy. Descartes' rationalism and Locke's empiricism offer contrasting blueprints for the architecture of knowledge. Descartes, a steadfast rationalist, believed in the human capacity to grasp essential truths through reason alone. His seminal work, Meditations, published in 1641, anchors on the famous assertion, "I think, therefore I am." This statement encapsulates Descartes' conviction that one's existence is an indubitable truth, knowable without recourse to sensory experience. Moreover, Descartes defended the existence of God as a truth of similar magnitude, arguing that the concept of divine perfection must originate from a source beyond our flawed human nature. For Descartes, such foundational beliefs, the self, God, mathematics, and the principles of logic, are not taught but are innate, embedded within us from birth. This perspective champions the mind's inborn capacity to access universal truths through the exercise of pure reason. Locke, on the other hand, was not as quick to credit human nature with inherent wisdom. Observing infants, he questioned the presence of inborn rational principles, suggesting instead that our understanding begins as a blank slate. He posited that through sensory experiences, individuals gather impressions from the world, which are then organized into ideas through a process of reflection. For Locke, the twin processes of sensation and reflection constitute the very bedrock of human knowledge. Yet Locke identified a challenge within his own framework, the inherently personal nature of sensory experience. Given that each person encounters a distinct set and sequence of impressions, Locke argued that uniform, innate ideas, as proposed by Descartes, were implausible. Instead, our concepts of abstract notions like love or justice are formed and refined through our individual interactions with the world. In this debate between innate reason and sensory experience, Descartes and Locke laid the philosophical groundwork for centuries of inquiry into human cognition and knowledge. Their legacies challenge us to consider whether the truths we hold are imprinted on our souls at birth or painstakingly assembled from the mosaic of our experiences. Part 4. The intricate dance between knowledge and belief. Venturing further down the path illuminated by Locke, we confront an intriguing complexity. If knowledge does not spring innate within us, as Descartes proposed, then understanding how we come to know anything becomes markedly more intricate. This conundrum led to the development of a classical analysis of knowledge in the vibrant intellectual milieu of the 1960s, aimed at clarifying the prerequisites for true knowledge. At its core, this model posits that three elements must converge for one to truly know something. The proposition in question must be true. The individual must believe in the proposition, and there must be a justifiable basis for this belief. Yet this neat formula belies a complex and often elusive relationship between knowledge and belief. Bertrand Russell's thought-provoking puzzle offers a tangible glance into this murkiness. A man racing against time to catch his train casts a quick glance at the station clock, which reads 1:17 p.m. Convinced by what he sees, he believes it to be the precise time and therefore thinks he knows it. But what if the clock has actually stopped and the real time is 1:33 p.m.? This scenario illustrates the precarious balance between belief and factuality that underpins what we consider to be knowledge. Yet, the classical analysis does not stand unchallenged. It contemplates scenarios where belief, even if incorrect, is still deemed as knowledge. Consider a detective who, armed with a bevy of evidence, concludes a man killed his wife. If part of the evidence, for instance, a testimony, proves false, does this invalidate the detective's knowledge derived from the truthful elements? Philosopher Edmond Gettier argued against this notion, suggesting that knowledge can exist amidst false beliefs, challenging the classical analysis's stringent criteria. Alvin Goldman's introduction of the theory of causal knowledge attempted to navigate these murky waters, proposing that for belief to constitute knowledge, it must be causally linked to the fact it pertains to. This theory, while innovative, wasn't immune to scrutiny. For instance, what if one's perception of a house ablaze was merely a sophisticated hologram and not a real fire? The relationship between belief and knowledge thus remains a vibrant field of epistemological inquiry. Despite decades of exploration and debate, reaching a definitive analysis of this relationship proves elusive. Yet, this ongoing examination into the bedrock of how we come to understand and affirm our reality continues to yield profound insights, propelling us ever forward in the quest to delineate the contours of true knowledge in the vast landscape of belief. Part 5: Navigating the Peaks and Valleys of Knowledge, Externalism versus Internalism. In the ever-evolving landscape of epistemology, the quest to define what constitutes true knowledge continually brings us to unexpected crossroads. Following Edmond Gettier's challenge to the classical analysis of knowledge, Alvin Goldman introduced the causal theory, anchoring his ideas in a broader epistemological perspective known as externalism. This outlook beckons us to re-examine even the most seemingly incontrovertible facts through a fresh lens. Consider Mount Everest, commonly hailed as the tallest mountain in the world. This fact, for most of us, lives in our minds unchallenged, an accepted token of universal knowledge. But, pause for a moment, how did this piece of information find its way to you? Unless intertwined with a landmark personal memory, such as a first kiss, pinpointing the exact moment of learning slips through our grasp. According to externalism, your belief that Everest holds this title is sufficient for it to be considered knowledge. Yet, this stance is not without its pitfalls. Externalism posits that one's connection to a fact validates the knowledge of it. However, misconceptions, such as believing Sydney to be the capital of Australia instead of the correct Canberra, underscore the ease with which one can form a false relationship with a supposed fact. This is where internalism diverges, advocating a more empirical approach rooted in evidence. From this standpoint, without personally verifying Everest's stature among the world's mountains, what you know tiptoes into the realm of belief rather than undeniable knowledge. Thus, the crux of the debate unfolds. Externalism embraces a broader, less stringent criterion for knowledge, while internalism demands concrete evidence as its bedrock. Internalists don't necessarily dispute Everest's status, but emphasize the importance, from a philosophical vantage point, of scrutinizing our claims to knowledge. Nevertheless, internalism does not render us knowledge impotent. This school of thought places high value on direct, systematic observation and reasoning. Through sensory experience, logical deduction, and introspection, we unlock a plethora of knowable truths, ranging from the mundane details of our daily lives to the physical laws governing the universe. Similarly, Externalists recognize the utility of first-person reasoning, but are more inclusive, allowing for knowledge to spring from instinctual or automated cognition. For instance, knowing that pi approximates to 3.14 without delving into the mathematics behind it stands as a testament to the acceptance of received wisdom as legitimate knowledge. In navigating these philosophical divides, we find ourselves on a journey through the complex terrain of knowledge. Externalism and internalism, each in their unique ways, invite us to ponder the depths of our understanding and the validity of our beliefs, propelling us forward in our quest to discern the true nature of knowledge in our lives. Part 6, The Delicate Balance of Knowledge and Trust, The Debate Over Testimonial. Knowledge. In the quest to define the parameters of knowledge, epistemologists grapple with the role of testimony, a source that introduces complexity to our understanding of what it means to truly know something. While internalists and externalists may debate the nuances of first-person thinking as a pathway to knowledge, the introduction of information learned from others presents an even more contentious issue. At the heart of this exploration lies a pivotal question. Can the second-hand knowledge gained through the testimony of others be considered as legitimate as knowledge acquired through direct experience? John Locke, a luminary in the realm of philosophy, maintained that knowledge is rooted in perception. From his perspective, anything learned through another's account remains at arm's length from true knowledge. Applying Locke's stringent criteria would suggest that even the existence of a historical figure like John Locke himself sits in a realm of assumption rather than certainty. Aiming to bridge this divide, reductionists propose a middle ground, arguing that we possess innate critical faculties, such as inference, memory, and perception, that enable us to evaluate the credibility of testimonial evidence. This approach suggests that, while perception retains its primacy in the acquisition of knowledge, we can, through discerning judgment, ascertain truths about realities beyond our immediate experience, such as the existence of Mars. Contrastingly, some philosophers advocate for the inherent value of testimony as a standalone form of knowledge, predicated on the veracity of the informant's account. This perspective privileges the truth of the statement over the belief of the speaker, allowing for the transmission of valid knowledge from a source that may not fully endorse the information it conveys. An example can be found in a creationist teacher who, despite personal convictions, accurately imparts the principles of evolution to students. This discourse becomes particularly salient in everyday situations, like a dinner party debate about the best-selling album of all time. A claim that Michael Jackson's Thriller holds this title might be initially rooted in conjecture, but becomes substantiated through a quick online verification. According to reductionist and traditional perspectives, such as Locke's, this would merely elevate the claim to a high probability rather than confirmed knowledge. However, those espousing the direct value of testimony might accept this as sufficient evidence, bypassing the need for personal verification to classify it as knowledge. Thus, the debate over testimonial knowledge lies at the intersection of trust, truth, and the limits of personal experience, challenging us to reconsider the ways in which knowledge is constructed, conveyed, and confirmed in a world rich with shared stories and information. Part 7, The Shape-Shifting Nature of Truth, Embracing Contextualism in Knowledge. Amidst the myriad puzzles that epistemology presents, ranging from the validity of second-hand testimony to the role of false beliefs in our understanding, there exists a school of philosophical thought poised to simplify these complex inquiries. Known as contextualism, this perspective hinges on the conviction that the essence of knowledge is intrinsically linked to the situation in which it is acquired or asserted. The essence of this thought is remarkably straightforward. Knowledge molds itself to the contours of context. Take, for example, a scenario where a father points out a zebra to his daughters during a visit to the zoo. How could he be absolutely certain that what they are observing is not a cleverly disguised donkey? Here, the principle of relevant alternatives theory steps in, proposing that, within the setting of a reputable zoo, The possibility of encountering a painted donkey masquerading as a zebra doesn't constitute a realistic alternative. This theory highlights that what's considered a relevant alternative is heavily influenced by the context of the situation. Expanding upon this, contextualism posits that the very standards by which we gauge knowledge change based on the circumstances. These shifting standards manifest vividly in everyday comparisons, such as assessing height. A 6'4 individual might confidently label themselves as tall on a dating profile, adhering to the general societal standard. Yet, within the specialized context of professional basketball, the same height might be deemed average or even slightly short by a commentator. Through the lens of contextualism, neither party is wrong. They're merely engaging with different contextual criteria of tallness. Contextualism even allows room for varying perspectives on certainty, bridging the gap between the general populace and skeptics. For instance, an individual confidently stating they know they are shoeless applies a different level of scrutiny compared to a skeptic, questioning the reliability of their own perception due to the possibility of hallucination. According to contextualism, both interpretations hold validity within their respective contexts, illustrating how the concept of knowledge adapts to the criteria and contingencies of the situation at hand. However, the adoption of contextualism is not without its detractors. Some philosophers maintain a steadfast belief in the immutability of knowledge, asserting that truths do not waver based on who perceives them or under what circumstances. For those holding tightly to the notion of unchanging, universal truths, contextualism emerges as both a radical departure and a challenging concept to reconcile with. As we navigate the evolving landscape of epistemological inquiry, contextualism offers a dynamic framework for understanding how context molds our perceptions of knowledge, truth, and even reality itself, potentially reshaping our philosophical exploration in profound and compelling ways. Part 8: The Unseen Threads of Understanding, Intuiting Knowledge in Others. Amid our exploration of the vast terrains of knowledge acquisition, there's one remarkably human trait that often goes unnoticed, yet plays a critical role in our daily interactions: intuition. This innate ability, which operates silently beneath the surface of our conscious thought, equips us with a unique form of understanding, the capacity to sense the knowledge, doubts, and ignorances of those around us without explicit communication. At its core, this faculty allows us to engage in a subtle yet profound form of mind reading. Unlike the spectacle of magicians who claim to pluck thoughts directly from the minds of volunteers, our mind reading is an epistemological tool that enables us to discern the mental states of others through the nuanced art of intuition. This skill manifests itself in the everyday choices of language and perception, determining whether we say a friend knows or merely thinks they've secured a new job based on the subtle cues and contexts they provide. This ability to intuit knowledge is not exclusive to humans. It is a trait we share with other species, such as chimpanzees, who rely on it to navigate social and survival challenges within their groups. However, humans possess the sophisticated capacity to not only assess what others know or don't know, but also to manipulate this understanding for various ends, ranging from the playful deceit of practical jokes to the strategic moves in competitive arenas. Yet, as with all facets of human cognition, our intuitive understanding has its boundaries. Our mental bandwidth has limitations, often capping our ability to track multiple layers of inferred knowledge beyond a certain complexity. This phenomenon is highlighted by our struggle to follow intricate chains of belief, such as untangling the web of who knows what about whom in a scenario involving secrecy and suspicion. Moreover, our intuition is tinged with egocentrism. The knowledge we personally hold can cloud our ability to accurately gauge the knowledge of others, especially in situations laden with asymmetric information. This challenge becomes apparent in contexts like stock trading, where possessing insider knowledge can obscure one's predictions of an opponent's moves, demonstrating the difficulty of disentangling our own knowledge from that of others. Despite these constraints, The intuitive grasp we have on the knowledge landscapes of those around us underscores the deep interconnectedness that knowledge fosters within and across our relationships. As epistemologists continue to unravel the complexities of what knowledge truly entails, the undeniable reality remains. Knowledge is not only a cornerstone of individual understanding, but a bridge that links minds, shaping the intricacies of our social interactions and collective existence. Final summary. Knowledge, at its core, remains an enigmatic concept that challenges even the most astute minds to pinpoint its essence and pathways. Delving into the nuances of how we acquire knowledge, distinguish between knowing and believing, and navigate the complexities of secondhand information invites us into a rich journey of inquiry and introspection. This exploration not only unveils the multifaceted nature of knowledge, but also prompts us to reflect thoughtfully on the veracity of the information we encounter, the convictions we embrace, and the so-called truths we hold dear. As we venture through the philosophical landscapes of epistemology, confronting theories ranging from skepticism to rationalism, empiricism to contextualism, we are encouraged to consider the profound implications these perspectives have on our understanding of knowledge and our interactions with the world. The intertwining of intuition and knowledge further illuminates the depth of our cognitive capabilities, revealing the intricate ways in which we perceive and relate to the minds around us. Ultimately, the quest to define knowledge beckons us toward a deeper, more critical engagement with the myriad beliefs and assumptions that shape our perceptions and guide our actions. In embracing this challenge, we open ourselves to a world of intellectual enrichment, fostering a nuanced appreciation for the labyrinthine quest to truly know. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.